It's time for men to take the internet back.
Yeah. We're men.
We are those. We are the men that are going to talk about the manly movie. Your favorite two movie dudes, Joe and Mr. Meeks, are back.
The Skull and Ebert's only logical hair.
It's funny that you said hair instead of air.
No, it's fucking... Being, there's an H in the word!
It's silent H. If we're going to call you the long air. Well, anyways, we're back to talk about The Expendables. And before we begin, you said you had a warning for our listeners.
We're going to talk about some shit that you might not want to hear. So if you don't want to hear it, fucking stop listening, bitches.
That was really manly spoiler alert. Manliest spoiler alert of all time?
I'm going to beat my chest. But you can't hear that on the microphone.
I don't know. Your Darth Vader shirt makes you so much manlier, too.
You're not supposed to tell them. I don't have a shirt on, according to...
I've got a muscle shirt on. I've shown off the big guns.
I'll roll up my sleeves.
So The Expendables, we've been pretty excited to see it for a while. We finally got around to it. You know, we just had a nice little quiet Sunday evening at the cinema watching The Expendables. Meeks, start us off. What's on your mind? What do you have to get off your chest right here off the bat?
Joe hid Wild Cherry Pepsi for me. That's the number one thing. You didn't tell me it existed, so I had to fucking choke down Code Red Mountain Dew, which stopped being made, I thought, in like 1995.
I think the only place it exists is like Taco Bell and movie theaters.
And I fucking wanted Wild Cherry Pepsi, but you didn't tell me where it was.
Would the listeners like to know where Meeks was standing while I was pouring myself Wild Cherry Pepsi? One probably a foot and a half to my right, facing the soda machine. So
I just saw Pepsi. There was no cherry on it.
The cherry was too wild for you, and your brain just blocked out. It's like, oh, that cherry looks really wild.
Elusive.
We should talk about the movie.
Okay. First thing I will say is, I really liked it.
Well, let's talk about what did you expect, and then follow that up. What did you receive?
I expected a violent, you know, cheesy, much like the movie we just did commentary on, The Running Man.
Yes,
and it gave it, you know,
it brought it.
And I thought actually we could go into this right away. This was a discussion we had going into the movie: is who would kill the most guys. But I thought it did a fairly good job of using all of its cast.
There's good kill distribution. I do think. Well, this was actually going to be my first question. Who kicked the most ass in The Expendables? I have an answer already.
It's Jason Statham. Yeah. I want to say Jet Li.
But I think Jet Li actually kicked the least amount of ass.
He did not kick the least amount of ass.
I'm not saying he wasn't good. I'm talking about how many asses did he kick? How many people did he kill? Or maim or dismember. I might change my mind here.
Stab through the arm.
He did some cool stuff. But if you're talking about screen time to kill ratio, he probably out of all the Expendables, he had the third most screen time.
Yep.
But wouldn't you say that Couture and Cruz probably killed more dudes than he did?
I wouldn't say Couture. Because remember when he jumped over that river of gasoline and he threw a bomb in it? That killed a lot of people, man. That's a lot of deaths.
That was Jet Li that did that? Yeah. Oh, you're right. Yeah, but I don't...
It was all slow motion.
Are we counting those as kills? Because
I am.
But you don't see the kills. You're just assuming that lots of kills took place.
And Couture just kept elbowing people in the face. Could have been knockouts.
I would say he was the pleasant surprise of the movie. Like, I wasn't really excited for him to be in it. I didn't really know much about him. But at the end of the movie, here's how I'd sum it up. I didn't feel like he deserved to share the screen with so many legends.
No. I forgot that he was in it, too, until I saw it. And then I was like, oh, he's going to be one of the five Expendable guys? But, well, see, this is the thing I said, too. I think that him and Stone Cold should have switched places. Because every time Randy Couture talked, it was dumb.
Yeah.
He had that stupid story about his cauliflower ear.
That was dumb.
And his shit with his hair.
Well, let's
And somebody, like, he's not very charismatic. Like, Stone Cold could have pulled that off better.
But you can't, Stone Cold can't have a therapist, though. So they would have had to totally rewrite that scene. Yeah, I would have walked out if Stone Cold Steve Austin's character
he could have improv'd something funny, though.
Yeah.
He would have had a lot to say to Jason Statham when he was whining about his girlfriend, too.
Oh, he would have... Yeah. he would have called him Mealy Mouth.
Yeah, he could have.
Because Mealy Mouth whining.
He would just... he had cool fight scenes, but, like, he was kind of wasted as the silent bodyguard.
I agree.
Bodyguard.
Like you whispered to me while we were sharing our lunch popcorn, sitting next to each other, that you were waiting for the scenery-chewing bad guy. And he was not allowed to chew much scenery.
No.
He did get to punch a girl.
Yeah, he did get to punch a girl. That was funny. When Eric Roberts was like, hey, I feel bad about hitting girls, but you know who doesn't? Fucking Stone Cold. That was like the least surprising fucking moment in movie history. You're telling me this professional wrestler doesn't mind hitting women? No way.
Weird.
Yeah.
I enjoyed every second Stone Cold was on the screen, but he does not give it enough dialogue.
Yeah, and like, you know, there's that Simpsons episode where like the Yakuza is in Homer's yard, and there's that real short guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're fighting, and then like he does something really cool, and Homer's like, I knew that guy was gonna do something cool. I kept waiting for that moment with Stone Cold. But yeah. And the fight scene he had with Stallone was really good.
It was, yeah.
And the Couture fight scene was cool, too.
Yeah. I mean, the movie suffered... This is really my only criticism of... Well, two criticisms of it. But this was... The other one is more mild, because I expected it.
Yeah.
The first... Like, it continues with this 21st century action movie editing style, where it's so fast that you don't even know... Sometimes you don't even know what's going on.
Yeah, that makes me annoyed. Especially, like I'm a pretty huge Jet Li fan. And, like, I've seen some of his... I'm not going to say I'm an expert on his movies, but I've seen, you know, a fair amount of his, like, Hong Kong martial arts movies. And, like, he's so awesome to watch fight. And, like, when he's in these, like, American movies that have that cutting style, like, it really annoys me.
Yeah, just
like... Because he's so fast. Like, all you got to do is just film him fighting. You need to have all these fancy cuts. Like, it's cool enough.
I know. And you have a lot of guys in this movie that can fight for real.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying it should be like a two minute long take of 66-year-old Stone Cold, or I'm sorry, Stallone fighting Stone Cold. But just, you know, calm down a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, and it doesn't make it look cooler, I don't think.
Yeah, like, trust your fight choreographer.
Agreed. And also, I thought that the lighting, it was just a little too dark. Especially in that opening scene. When they go on the boat in Somalia, yeah. You know, when we're first exposed to their ass-kicking abilities. I thought it was just a little too dark.
Yeah. I don't
know. It makes me feel like an old man.
I don't really agree with that. I didn't have a problem.
I don't mean dark in tone, I mean...
No, I agree with... I just don't... Like, I mean, that's...
It wasn't a huge deal, but...
The only distraction was the fast cutting, but I mean, that's to be expected nowadays.
And the only other minor complaint, there's a few quieter scenes that... It didn't work,
Dude, are you talking about the Mickey Rourke scene?
No, I'm not talking about the Mickey Rourke scene. Okay. Well, let's go to Mickey Rourke. You know, a little disappointed that we didn't get to see him kick any ass.
No.
But we did get to see him come in on a chopper with a really hot chick.
That, yep, and he talked lots of crazy philosophy that barely made sense.
Yes, and he had a pretty sweet pipe.
And there was a part when he was real sad... And I thought anybody else in that role would have bombed. It would have been terribly.
Statham could have pulled it off.
Maybe
Statham's the only other guy.
But I was like, I actually, you know, wanted to drop some tears when I saw Mickey Rourke. See, it's so sad. He let that girl die.
I couldn't get totally. You know, there, for those of you who haven't seen it and are planning on watching and are just listening because we're really awesome, I'll summarize briefly. They had a tough mission in Bosnia.
Yep.
He's sad. Saw a lot of his friends go die in the muck. As
John he didn't think he was going to live.
And, you know, that's kind of where his soul died.
As he said, his head went all Dracula.
Dracula black. His soul, or was it his head or his soul?
Both, maybe.
They both went Dracula black. And, you know, now he's just sort of a heartless mercenary. And, you know, he's this is his Oscar scene.
Yeah.
He's monologuing here. And we're supposed to sort of be moved by it. Like, this man has seen some shit.
Yeah.
And I couldn't keep my eyes off the fact that he had, like, a gold grill.
No, that's something that I was thinking about a lot, too. Like, they hit it, but, like, I thought, you haven't seen Iron Man 2, but I thought that was part of his character in Iron Man 2. Because that isn't in The Wrestler, his gold grill. So I was like, why is that
does
still...
Does he just have a gold grill for real?
That's what I was trying to wonder.
And B, if he does have a gold grill, does that make Mickey Rourke our favorite actor?
That was the other thing, and I didn't want to say it, because, you know, you can't criticize God here, kind of. But, like, he looks... He's weird looking.
Well, it's not
with
really
his weird hair.
You're not what do you mean, criticizing God? Are you calling Mickey Rourke God?
Yeah, yes, I am.
Well, he's mostly plastic at this point.
Yeah, but like, what's he doing with his fucking hair with those weird highlights and shit?
That's character building.
Yeah, I guess that got over it.
That's basically how they're like, this guy's eccentric. They gave him crazy dyed highlighted hair and a weird pipe.
I think
that was like the pipe that Gandalf smoked.
He was just playing himself.
I think he stole Gandalf's pipe.
He probably actually did kill people. That scene was just real. All his dialogue was improv.
Yeah, when he sort of disappeared for a while.
He
went, and that would have been around, because wasn't he gone in like the early to mid 90s is when he was, that's when all the shit was going down in Bosnia too.
Yeah.
During the Clinton era.
Yeah.
Maybe he really was.
He's Black Ops.
That's why Stallone was like looking at him with that crazy look in his eye. He's like, this isn't in the script.
What are you doing?
Hey, Mickey Rourke. This is a really bad Stallone impression.
Were you really in Bosnia? I mean, that speech was pretty incredible.
It was
where'd you come up with that?
Yeah. That was the motivation for the whole movie, Mickey Rourke's speech.
All right, Stallone didn't want to end up like that.
Yeah.
Stallone had... Oh, you're right. I didn't think about that.
He saved himself.
Okay.
But he left that girl behind, which was unexpected.
So, Stallone...
That was tasteful.
Yeah, agreed. And are we ready? Let's transition to why my opinion of Stallone went up in this movie, and there's two reasons for it. One, if we're going to ask who kicked the least amount of ass in that movie, I would actually say Stallone kicked the least amount of ass.
Mm.
But it's because I feel like this movie was Stallone... and he's probably been doing this in I haven't seen Rambo yet, the new one.
Me neither.
He's transitioning to point guard mode.
Yeah, I mean...
He knows he can't score anymore, so he's just passing. That whole movie was Stallone just setting up alley-oops to Jason Statham and Jet Li.
Yeah.
And everybody.
And I thought, you know, there was a part of me that thought, like, because Stallone seems to be a real fight fan, like, you know, like, of boxing and everything. And, like, Dolph Lundgren was a really good fighter, according to the internets. So that may or may not be true. Like, but, so I could see Stallone having worked with Dolph Lundgren and then seeing a bunch of Jet Li movies be like, whoa, wouldn't it be cool if these two guys fought? You know? Like, this is kind of a nice fanboy approach. Like, I think you could see that maybe through this movie, where he, like, really appreciated maybe, like, the new Crank movies or something. And he just was like, I like that guy. I'm going to give him some screen time.
Exactly. That's why I've decided Stallone, I think I may have said this during the Rocky one, his lifetime pass, he's fine.
Yeah.
I will not criticize him, and I will no longer tolerate criticism.
And, you know, even if, I wouldn't have been mad if he just totally egoed it and just was the star of that movie.
No, I wouldn't have been mad either, but I thought it was classy that he was just dishing the ball the whole time. And even then, like, even when he fought, when he was fighting Stone Cold?
Yeah.
And they're like, what went on in there? And he's like, I just got my ass kicked.
Yeah. Which that was cool too, yeah.
Like, so he wasn't really going totally into tough guy.
And there was all those winking nods, like at the end, when he shot Eric Roberts, and then Jason Statham threw the knife. And he's like, we'll call that a tie. And then Stallone's like, I'm not as fast as I used to be.
Yeah. So I think this movie was like Stallone saying, I'm still going to kick a lot of ass, and no one's going to stop me, but I realize I can't carry it on my own anymore.
Yeah, he's very self-aware.
He's
more than people give him credit for.
He's sort of like a basketball player late in their career that's like, you know what, I can't carry this team anymore. He's maybe late period Magic Johnson. No, hold on. late career Kareem, when Kareem's finally like, all right, Magic, you just go do your thing. Go do your thing. You're the centerpiece of this team now.
But he still wants to play. That's the thing. I mean, like, yeah, that's like fine. At this point, like, he tried his, you know, serious hand with Copland and shit, and, like, it's just not taking. Especially now, like, he can't act for real when he looks all weird from plastic surgery. Like, he knows how to do one thing, and he knows how to do it pretty well.
Yep.
And, like...
And even into his 60s, he can still do it thanks to what must be copious amounts of steroids.
No, that's clear. Like,
he is ripped.
I mean, the amount of steroids on that set probably were astronomical between him and Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, Mickey Rourke has, like, that steroid gut, you know?
Yeah.
Where it's like a beer belly.
And I think he even admitted that he took steroids for the wrestler.
And I think Stallone basically admitted that he did for Rocky Balboa.
But, you know, this is the thing I also thought about, too, with Stallone. Like, for instance, the scene when he was on screen with Arnold and Bruce Willis.
Yeah, we need to make sure we don't forget to talk about that.
Which was really awesome scene. But he doesn't have the charisma those two do. Like, I thought of that scene, he was just fucking way outshined by those guys.
Yeah. But I feel like he also didn't even really try.
That's true.
It was another example where he's like, oh, these two guys. Although, I don't know for sure if Bruce Willis has more charisma than Stallone.
I think he does for sure.
He probably does, but I don't have the soft spot for Bruce Willis that I do for Stallone, because I think
I really like Bruce Willis.
I like him, but like we've sort of been complimenting Stallone this whole time for setting his ego aside. Uh-huh. I think Bruce Willis still thinks he's just as awesome as he was in 1988.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing about Bruce Willis is, I think Stallone's personality is just more dependent upon, like, just kicking ass. Whereas, like, Arnold has this whole air about him where he's real cocky, and he's charismatic, too, but he's, like, supremely confident in how manly he is. Yeah.
He's indestructible.
And that comes across. And Bruce Willis has his whole wise-ass kind of thing. Like, I can't really think of Stallone's personality niche.
Stallone's kind of, well,
like, his movies are good, but he's
sort of
not because of his one-liners and, like, you know.
Well, he's sort of, his good movies are good because he somehow is able to combine being both the tough guy and the underdog.
Yeah, he's very human, I guess. Well, that's not as human as Bruce Willis, I suppose, but he's somehow relatable. Somehow. I couldn't even tell you how.
No, I think it's because, I don't know, yeah, he just somehow, despite always kicking tons of ass in his movies, still makes himself seem like the underdog.
Yeah.
Alright, so, another thing I had mixed feelings about in this movie was Dolph Lundgren.
Oh, wait, but before we go, I was going to say, the end scene with, he had the,
oh, yeah,
romance,
yeah,
there was a girl, a really hot girl,
yeah, classy,
that he went back for. Because that's, like, because he wanted to save his soul. And I just assumed that it was going to be the Sandra Bullock speed thing. But he left her behind.
Yep, he's like, I gotta go.
Which, you know,
He could have stayed there.
Cool. It was very cool that he didn't do that.
Yeah, he didn't.
You would just realize, like, he's not fucking Woody Allen trying to be dating, you know, really hot younger chicks in movies.
Yep.
Which I it was a classy move. No more needs to be said about it than that, I guess, but it's a classy move.
I like that.
Yeah.
Alright, so the great scene, Arnold, Bruce, and Stallone. We knew it was coming.
That's worth the price of admission alone, I think.
I agree. Arnold was so cocky.
That's what I mean, he's just so confident in his, like, manliness.
He just walks into this church where Stallone and Bruce Willis are meeting, and immediately
he just starts talking shit
to both of them. And he's just like, oh, fuck this job. You can just have it. I've got better things to do. And it was one of the moments, I was hoping the movie wouldn't be too, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Like, just drop tons of, like, inside jokes about, like, past movies and things. And there was that one joke about how he wants to be president. That was okay. I'm glad that
it got a good audience response.
Yeah, and I'm glad. I was worried that they'd do too much of that, but that was one of only maybe two or three examples. Stone Cold used a few of his favorite insults from his wrestling days.
Yeah, he called Stallone trash. The one time he got to talk.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, tough guy.
Think you're a tough guy? They should have let him do the fast punch. They should have let him do the finger point and then the punch flurry.
People would have went nuts for that.
I know, we would have.
I would have been crazy.
I was a little disappointed that the theater wasn't more rowdy.
I heard people make noise a lot. I just think the movie was maybe loud.
Okay.
Too loud to hear them.
I mean, that was probably a movie where we needed to see it.
Although
at the iPic, where everyone would have had a few cocktails in it.
Yeah.
On, like, opening weekend.
Fucking, yeah, or the Oriental or something.
If they showed it there.
Well, yeah. That's where I saw, like, Death Proof, and there was a bunch of, like, a midnight showing. Or not Death Proof, Grindhouse, and there's a bunch of drunk college kids there. That's a good place to see that movie. But, the thing that the audience didn't react to that I thought they should have was the end missile scene. And I was giggling like a fucking...
Sloan's lifting up this giant missile.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what is he going to do with that missile?
I knew instantly when he picked it up. I was like, he's going to throw that like a football. Like a rocket.
That was another moment where he distributed.
Yeah, he gave it to Terry Crews.
Oh, Terry Crews, you're way stronger than me.
Throw this missile at this helicopter.
I'm going to shoot
it. Did he throw it overhand? He didn't throw it overhand.
He kind of did shot put style.
Oh, okay. I wish he would have just thrown it like a football. That would have been the best move ever.
Okay, if we're going to go, let's go into action movie mode. The most badass firearms in action movie history. Where does Terry Crews' giant loud
gun rank? I think it's probably number one. Well, is that cool gun? Remember the Arnold movie Eraser?
Yeah, I don't remember the gun in it though.
There's that gun that can see like your skeleton, like it has the
side, oh yeah, and then it has cool the gun.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I like that gun.
I would say okay. I'm gonna go through a few guns that I would put the gun from Aliens that like the Marines use, like that chick Marine where they have to like strap
yeah,
like kind of like a steady cam.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And then Arnold's rifle that he uses in Terminator 2, the lever action.
I would rank this above that.
It's more destructive, but not used as cool as Arnold's rifle when he's driving through that aqueduct thing, and he's cocky and like that.
Yeah, that is badass. I also like Jesse Ventura's Gatling gun.
Oh, Predator, yeah, that's good too.
When he's cutting down trees.
And of course, you've got the 45, or is it 44 from Dirty Harry?
Oh, yeah, I think it's 45.
Yeah.
Bruce Campbell's shotgun.
Oh, the boomstick.
And the chainsaw combination.
Yeah, that's up there too.
Hard to top that. That's kind of a different territory.
Yeah, true. Oh, what if Bruce Campbell would have been in this movie, too?
He maybe should have been the bad guy.
Yep. Like, yeah. You know what happened? Actually, there's this moment in the movie, and I don't know why I thought this. Because, what's that guy's name again? The bad guy.
Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts had already been seen on screen. And then they go up to the general's office in the palace, and he starts talking, but it's really dark and you can't see him. He sounded, for just a couple seconds, just like George Clooney. and I was like, oh my god, is George Clooney going to be like the ultimate bad guy that's pulling everybody's strings? That would have been an amazing cameo appearance.
That would have been awesome. I would have approved.
But yeah, Bruce Campbell as that in Eric Roberts' spot would have been an improvement.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bruce Campbell as I wouldn't want Mickey Rourke to be replaced, but the guy that sets up their jobs.
Yeah.
Funny too.
Or like... Well, I mean, for that matter, if we just were picking that, I mean, we could put, like, Bill Murray in that spot, too, and that'd be good.
Yeah, but you want someone that can, like, be funny but also be tough.
Yeah.
Which Bruce Campbell can kind of do.
Bill Murray can't really be tough.
I mean, why isn't Bruce Campbell being put into really dumb, over-the-top action movies?
That's why, I mean, you know, that's a digression here, but
we can talk about whatever we want.
A long time, like... He has a built-in fan base. Like, look at Burn Notice, which is a really good show. But, like, part of the reason its ratings were so high to start off with was because he was in the show. Like, people will watch ridiculous shit with him in it.
Yeah.
I don't know how some studio doesn't be like, if we put Bruce Campbell in this movie, we're going to get at least, you know, a certain amount of money. And I don't know why he's not in more movies. It seriously boggles my mind.
Maybe he doesn't want to.
There's seriously, like, at least 15 people I know that would go see a movie with him in it on opening night just because he's in it.
Yeah, but that might be because he's not in stuff all the time. Like, maybe he doesn't want to go the Christopher Walken route where he's just in movies constantly to the point where... But Christopher Walken remains awesome, though.
Yeah.
I suppose.
And Bruce Campbell's still in lots of movies. They're just not released, like, widely.
Oh. True.
Kind of.
I don't know. Maybe... Next time he does a Q&A, you'll have to ask him, why aren't you in movies like The Expendables and stuff? Do they just not ask
you? He probably would talk tons of shit about all those guys, though.
Yeah, I know, and that'd be great. That'd be great. So it would work out fine. It's a win.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah.
He would have been awesome in it. You know, so we talked about, I guess we can, oh, wow, we're getting close to half an hour already. Expendables Part 2, which has to happen.
It seems like it was.
Because they didn't do the whole I'm hanging it up and retiring thing at all.
No, they just...
The last scene was like, we kicked so much ass. It was just so self-congratulatory.
The boys are back in town.
Yep.
They're not leaving town.
Yeah, they're back in town. And if this movie has done well, it'll be profitable.
Mm-hmm.
So we were talking... We already discussed this on the way here. They've got to make it bigger and better. What can they add to it?
And there's two glaring omissions. Was Steven Seagal and Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Yeah, well, we know that Jean-Claude and Steven Seagal have beef.
They wouldn't want to be on the same...
So they wouldn't be able to be in scenes together.
And it seems like probably all these people in this movie were friends to some extent. Except for maybe Statham and Jet Li, you know, like, being the only guys that didn't know Stallone going into this movie.
Yeah.
I would imagine Couture, you know, knows Stallone from, like, his fight fandom.
Yeah, and Stone Cold's a big UFC fan, too, I think.
Yeah, so they probably all know each other from that. And then, I mean, obviously Dolph and Stallone work together a lot.
Yeah.
And then, like, Mickey Rourke and Stallone are, I think, friends from Planet Hollywood or whatever.
And Rourke's a big fight fan, too. He was a boxer for
a while. Oh, yeah, so, I mean, that's all. But the reputation Jean-Claude has is a fucking prima donna.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting brought into that.
Yeah, didn't he? Isn't there that story about him getting his ass kicked at a bar one time or something in New York?
Well, I don't know.
I can't remember where I heard that story, but someone was saying that he... I think someone was talking shit to him in some bar in New York, so Jean-Claude, like, pushed him and the guy beat his ass.
And, like, everybody in that movie also seems pretty self-aware. And, like, I don't think Steven Seagal or Jean-Claude are, like...
No.
That's self-aware,
Steven
you know?
Seagal thinks he's...
Fucking super cop.
I don't understand his police work thing. Although, is he really just a good guy that wants to help out, or does he do that to...
They said he's been doing it for like 15, 20 years.
Yeah. We did watch that show one time, and he did no work at all.
Nothing. Yeah. They have that fucking camera mode where it goes, like, he wears those yellow sunglasses.
Yeah.
Remember the camera goes to yellow? Like, he's fucking...
And he just... basically, all he does is sit around and pretend that he's the best cop in the world and talk tons of shit.
About Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Talk shit about Jean-Claude Van Damme or wax poetic about, you know, be philosophical about drug abuse and things like that.
Yeah.
He might be a good guy.
I mean, I'm really excited about him being the bad guy in Machete.
Can Machete live up to this one, The Expendables?
I mean, I think it can. Just because it's going for the same thing here.
Oh, that reminds me. Danny Trejo should be in The Expendables Part 2.
Yep. But it's going for the same thing, but it has much more talented guy at the helm. Perhaps. Maybe not, though. Maybe Robert Rodriguez is not more talented than Stallone.
Yeah. I mean, well... Stallone, he's like, I'm going to make an 80s action movie. And he did it. Robert Rodriguez is probably going to set his... Well, he's just going to kind of try to do the drive-in, you know, cult movie thing.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're being intentionally campy and culty like that, it doesn't work a lot of the time.
Yeah,
it did work in Death Proof, though. He hit it out of the park in Death Proof.
Yeah, and this
and,
is what...
From Dusk Till Dawn. I like that movie,
too. I mean, and, like, I've liked all his adult movies. But this is the thing I think about, like, that they do better than anybody else, like Tarantino and Rodriguez. And I'll cite the Kill Bill scene with the 99 ninjas, you know?
Yeah.
Where she's fighting, and she fights that, I think it's Yuri Gogo or whatever, with the ball.
Yeah.
And, like, you're like, and she killed, like, 10, 15 guys, and then she beats up Yuri, and I'm like, that was very satisfying. But then 99 more ninjas storm the fort, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they just seem like guys that are just, like, they know... They have, their finger on the pulse of what is super awesome in that mode. Whereas, like, I don't know if Stallone did that.
There were wasted opportunities in that movie, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, well, like we said, Stone Cold didn't get to talk enough shit.
Because mm-hmm.
if Stone Cold can do anything, it's talk tons of shit.
Yeah, they should just let him chew scenery.
They also, I think Eric Roberts was not, he was okay. The bad guy wasn't colorful enough.
No.
And that general guy, that guy's in Dexter. I mean, anybody that watches Dexter, and I don't know why I watch it, but I've watched every episode, and I'm angry at the end of every single one, because every actor in that show, except for the guy that plays Dexter, is awful, including that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, here's a show that's been on for 4 seasons, so there's 4 seasons worth of material to show that guy sucks, as well as everybody else. Although, to be fair, he sucks probably the least out of everybody. He was bad in the Expendables. It should be a colorful, over the top, profane, amazing villain, and mm-hmm. that guy was
like Gary Oldman or something.
Yeah, that guy was so soft and useless
in
general. And then the Eric Roberts bad guy was just paled in comparison to the charisma level of the good guys.
Yeah.
And then you've got Stone Cold in the bad guy stable, just held under wraps.
I just thought I was hoping that he would be the main bad guy.
I was too, but all he is the henchman.
People just don't trust him for whatever reason enough, I guess.
Another action wrestler guy that's doing movies is The Rock. You could bring The Rock into the Expendables fold.
Yeah, he'd
probably would try to hog all the attention, though.
Maybe.
He'd be the black, you know, in this movie there were no black holes on there that were trying to, you know.
Yeah. Well, because, like, Statham probably had top billing there, but everybody else, like, it's just, this movie probably helps their career a lot.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Like, Terry Crews, you know, and stuff. Like, that probably helps them.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him in much before this, but he held his own.
Mm-hmm.
So, Dwayne Johnson, perhaps.
I would like that.
That would be fun.
I would enjoy an addition of Dwayne Johnson.
I'm sure we're missing other action movie stars, though.
Like, Kurt Russell.
Oh, yeah!
And he's not... I mean, he wouldn't fucking hog up scene time either.
No, like, he'd be really... Care. Yeah, you need a cowardly expendable.
He'd be a really good scenery-chewing bad guy, too.
Oh, that's true. Yep. Jackie Chan's too wacky, probably.
Yeah.
He wouldn't like all the gore and stuff.
Yeah, like, that's not really his style.
Yeah,
like,
Jackie Chan wouldn't work, but Kurt Russell would be really funny.
Yeah. Yeah, like, I was thinking about Jackie Chan being in this on the way here, but I don't know. It's not his sensibility.
No, it isn't. Agreed.
Really?
I guess you got Chow Yun-Fat. He'd be the third big guy.
That would be the Chinese Steven Seagal.
Yeah. He could be sort of like, he'd be a good, like, silent bad guy henchman.
Yeah.
That kicks lots of ass. Although, and his Jetty's foil.
I don't think I have a fair appreciation of him. Because I never... I love Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, but every other movie I've seen of his, I've not been that crazy about.
His prime
was probably... Like, he... Like, all his overseas films that he did with... what's his face?
John Woo?
Yeah. He did a bunch of John Woo films.
Yeah.
Before John Woo came to America.
And started to suck.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what we should do? You know what we should do for our next commentary is Face Off.
Yeah. Oh, I like Face Off. I like Face Off.
Me too. It'd be fun.
Yeah.
Well, anyways. Have we missed anybody? I don't want to get any...
We were going to talk about Dolph Lundgren, but
yeah,
I don't really have...
He was okay, but it was weird. I just wanted him to sound like Ivan Drago the whole time.
I think he was trying not to.
I know, and I don't know if I liked that he wasn't.
Yeah. I like the fight scene between him and Jet Li a lot.
You're an idiot if you think that Jet Li was going to win that fight.
He was going to win! He said he would have won!
Yeah, of course you'd say that. But Dolph Lundgren was beating his ass.
No, only he got lucky.
He was gorilla pressing him.
Yeah, but he would have been able to worm his way out of it because he's small.
I don't think so. I think he was. I think
you're just big bias. That's big bias. You just like big guys.
Well, so apparently so does Stallone because he wrote that
Dolph Lundgren. Fair.
He wrote that Dolph Lundgren beats the shit out of Jet Li.
You didn't just have Jet Li be the hero of the whole movie. It's main character. Just doing cool kung fu.
I didn't really get his whole "I have a family."
But then he didn't have a family.
I know, but I didn't understand it. Like, were we?
He just needed money because he's a gambling addict, probably.
Is that the subplot of Expendables 2? that he gets in trouble with like a loan shark or something, and they have to bail him out.
He just wanted more money. He's just being greedy.
But he—that doesn't really make him like. That kind of makes him unlikable.
It was funny when he explained it. And he was like, "I don't really have a family." But I'm short. I gotta work twice as hard as everybody else. That made me laugh.
They should team him up with Sean Astin in the next one. Get Rudy and Jet Li. Get the two smalls together.
They just have the fucking Expendables versus Jackie Chan and Jet Li, and they would just beat the shit out of that whole team.
Wait. Okay. We should wrap this up pretty soon, but what about Carl Weathers? Can he be in Expendables 2?
Yeah.
Is it okay with you?
Yeah. Yep. That's okay with me. He has to grow a fro, though.
Should we just bring the whole Predators cast back?
Yeah. Jesse Ventura, too. I mean, that's fine with me.
Probably, Jesse Ventura's probably not that buff anymore. You probably would have to put him in, like, the Mickey Rourke mode.
And, like, if it takes a couple years to make this, Arnold might be done with governing.
Yeah.
And then he could be in it.
Do you think he's going to go back to acting, though?
I mean,
he's stepped away for a really long time. Like,
but he might do this movie. You can have two competing teams, like Arnold's team and Sly's team.
I don't think I could handle that.
And, like, Arnold with Carl Weathers and Kurt Russell, or I don't know.
Oh, my God.
And, like,
oh, you could have Steven Seagal on one team and Jean-Claude on the other.
And they're going to be so angry at each other.
And it culminates in a big fight.
And they're always competing for jobs.
I think if they manage to pull that up, well, would Bruce Willis, how would he fit into that second one?
He'd be the same role he was in.
Okay.
You know, and he'd hire them both.
He hires them both to do the same job.
Yeah.
But only the team that completes it successfully first wins. So he does it to cover his own ass.
Yeah.
So that the job gets
maybe
done.
Maybe he could be the bad guy. And they
he's just trying to get them to eliminate each other. And then they team up at the end.
Yeah.
Oh,
they have to fight it.
Why don't people let us write action movies? We just came up with a story to Expendables 2.
Yeah.
Yep. We should just write it and mail it to
Let us do this.
Maybe he'll hear this.
You know, who would have at one point been a big asset to this, but not anymore? Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
He's lost his fucking mind.
I know. We have to talk about this now. Can anyone resurrect his career at this point? Is it over?
No, I think it's done.
There's been a lot of actors that have done some really crazy
stuff. Not that crazy, though.
But America loves to forgive. Like
they'll Robert Downey Jr. because he does too much coke, but they're not going to forgive psychotic
Jew-hating
Mel Gibson.
Yeah, but he's an alcoholic. He is. So, like, it's so easy to get forgiven. You just go to rehab, and you talk Oprah into interviewing you.
He needs to be in a good movie, then. That's how Robert Downey Jr.
Then you do some quiet, independent drama. Although, Robert Downey, he kind of got his comeback with Kiss Kiss Bang Bang a little bit.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, and also, oddly enough, the screenwriter of Lethal Weapon was the one that wrote and directed.
You know who I would like to be in Expendables 2 too?
Val Kilmer.
That's what I was going to
say. Yeah, Val Kilmer.
That would work too.
Yep, Val Kilmer would be great. He's actually really cool in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. The movie itself is, I can lie with you. It's okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't know whether to take itself seriously or not, which made me mad. But I have a soft spot for Mel. I kind of feel bad for him, even though he's a drunk anti-Semite and probably racist too.
Like I like,
but Lethal Weapon.
I like all four Lethal Weapons.
Let's get Danny Glover and Joe Pesci involved. Let's just make this. Let's just get everyone that starred in cool action movies from our childhood into one giant orgy of destruction or destruction and
quips. Just have them shooting guns for an hour. Like just see where you cut
and punching each other.
Cut from one to the other.
There's a lot of knives in this, by the way.
I was happy with the knives.
Yeah, but wow, this conversation is all over the place. But this was knife heavy for an action movie.
I thought it served it well.
I agree. I'm just saying, like, you don't see
knives a lot. Yeah, that was a brilliant stroke by Stallone.
Probably not brilliant for our listeners to listen to, though. This movie had a lot of knives in it. Hey, how many knives were in this movie? Were there knives?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Inside joke territory there. I think we've covered it.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's that, probably.
Say that's that.
That's that. That's that.
Well, yeah, I think maybe we'll do this again for Machete.
Yep. I should think we should.
When does Machete come out?
Like a month, maybe?
Okay, well, internet friends, look forward to us chiming in. We're just going to, I don't know, we'll probably not going to be able to do this regularly, but we're just going to do this whenever we want, and I'll post it,
and you'll fucking listen.
You'll listen and you'll laugh. And it'll kill 30 minutes to an hour of your workday, or your car ride, and you're going to speak, wow, I should hang out with Joe and Meeks more often.
Yep.
And then you'll call me, and I won't answer my phone.
You can't be on the podcast, though.
No. No, I don't really know if we know anybody that can keep up with us. No.
I mean, we're like in the Expendables, but there's no other, we have no peers that we're basically
Arnold and Stallone.
Yeah.
And I don't know, we have, there's probably a Bruce Willis out there.
Nah.
We haven't met him, though.
Nope.
Maybe the real Bruce Willis is the only one.
Maybe he needs to join our podcast. He would teach us a thing or two.
He'd probably have a few cocktails in him too, based on the times they interview him on sidelines at sporting events. He's always like that time he's at that NBA game and he dropped the F-bomb. He did the yippee-ki-yay.
He's such a fucking likable guy. I can't believe you're gonna fucking rip on.
Oh my god! Okay,
Bruce Willis before.
I found the perfect way to end this show.
What's that?
We have missed with an unforgivable omission from The Expendables 2. And when I say this name, you're going to have an outburst.
Yeah.
You know what I'm missing?
Sam Jackson.
Yeah, Sam Jackson.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
You just give him one sweet monologue.
You give him a huge gun and just let him say fuck a lot, and that's that. You don't need anything more than that.
Yeah, but he needs a big Deep Blue Sea style monologue.
Yeah, like Pulp Fiction.
And I'm glad he wasn't in Expendables 1, because there wasn't a good enough bad guy for him to be mad at. But if you bring in Kurt Russell or Bruce Campbell as the bad... If you bring in Bruce... He'd be so mad at Bruce Campbell as the bad guy.
Because
Bruce Campbell is a little pansy.
He's a little worm.
He's a little worm.
He's coward. He just runs away constantly.
If he's out in those woods, he's dead.
He's capable of being competent.
Yep. Sam Jackson.
That's
now,
number one.
Now we can say it.
That's that?
That's that.
That's that.
All right.